Now please turn to the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. That is our text. And the theme we are to think of and focus our attention is God is witness, a phrase that occurs twice in the passage. Firstly, in verse 5, please, as I lead you, just look at verse 5. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, that is, greed for money and material things. And then ends up this verse with, God is witness. This is our theme. This is repeated in verse 10. Please look at verse 10. You are witnesses, says the writer, the Apostle Paul. And God also. How holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So here in these two verses, please focus our hearts and minds and our attention on God is witness. What do you mean by God is witness? God knows everything that we think. God knows everything that anyone thinks and does, intends to do, anywhere on planet Earth. Now you say, that is a sweeping statement. How can it be? Can anyone know all that we think in this congregation? So many people thinking, intending, doing, can anyone know? And the answer is yes, one person. God is witness. And I will demonstrate and show to you we have a God who knows everything that goes on anytime, anywhere in the world. Do you believe that? What do you think? If I tell you that we all came from a cell that can arrange 10,000 cells on the edge of this file, and all of us began life as one cell, given by father and mother, right? That's how we began. A microscopic cell, and that cell is called the egg cell. Fertilized. And it has got a stuff called DNA. And how did you develop into a person having 100 trillion? Now, I cannot count a trillion, but it is 1,000,000,000. 100 times 1,000,000,000 cells in this body of ours, your body, my body. We have so many cells. Where did they come from? Who put it there? Our God is a wonderful God. So never underestimate God's power and ability. Now, what am I leading to? I was attracted to this magazine. It's called Time. Some of us subscribe to it. It is the leading news magazine of America. And 3 weeks ago, this Time magazine came out. I think it is interesting for us to know, because for most of us, it concerns our own homeland, China. It says here, Of course, America is not very impressed with the things that come out of China today. The corruption and the horrible crimes that are committed. So it says here in the front page, headlines about China. The People's Republic of China. Not China. Scandal. What is scandal? Do you know? An immorality that causes public outcry and anger and protest. People don't like it and say it's so terrible. How could it happen in a civilized country like China? This is scandal. And other day in small print, which you cannot read from most of you, it talks of murder, lies, corruption. Can China face the truth? Oh dear friends, if China has the truth and obeys the truth, all these things would not have happened, all the scandal. Now, what are we driving at? Does God know all these things? America is concerned. So are we. If you are Chinese, you go back to China, you feel insecure because there is scandal. The people in authority at the very top are not doing things correctly. And God is not pleased. Why? Back to our theme. God is witness. He knows. You say, how can he know? I've just told you, if God was the one who created us, and we came from one cell, so tiny the cell, that the instructions in that one cell, in the DNA of that one cell, has resulted in you and me being born. And today to have 100 trillion cells. How did it happen? In that one egg cell, God had imprinted all the instructions that go on to form the various systems and parts of our body. Do you know that? So that there is no mistake. Those instructions in that tiny little cell, as I told you, you can put 10,000 cells across this page. So tiny. Those instructions, if they were to be typed out, will fill 1,000 copies of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Have you got that copy in your house? That amazing encyclopedia, which has got 1,000 pages per book. If God could put all the information into one tiny little cell, and if those instructions can occupy 1,000 books of the Encyclopedia Britannica in small print, how intelligent and powerful is the wisdom of God? There is no searching of his understanding. So when you come to worship, acknowledge him. When you go home, acknowledge him. When you go to bed, acknowledge him. When you wake up, acknowledge him. He is a wonderful God who is concerned about you, interested in you. So we all must be interested in what things go on in China, in Singapore, in England, in America. Now, let me show you what is happening in America. Do you know? I received a letter from America last week from a person called Dr. Waite, Bible for Today. And it says, if you have time to read I'm sending you 5 pages, and here is the headlines for you. So that if you have not received, I don't think any of you would have received. I'm sharing with you something that is going on behind the scenes, behind the headlines. You know that in November there will be the election in America. Do you know that? Of course. If you read the papers, you ought to know. Now, that election is a great event. And the present president, the incumbent, is called Mr. Barack Obama. The news that I have received is confidential news. The writer says, I have received from a source, a name. He doesn't name it because it is confidential. Now, what does he say? There is a planned uprising or revolution going to come in America. Does God know about it? Answer is obviously. God knows. In His Word it says, there will come wars and rumors of wars and unrest before Jesus returns. Do you know that? It is mentioned in all the Gospels. So here it is. In these 5 pages that I read, it talks of massive social unrest will come during this electioneering period. You know that there are two candidates for the elections, the incumbent President Obama and another man called Mr. Romney. You all know this, don't you? All right. For the next 4 or 5 months, there will be intense electioneering. Everybody will go and cater for your vote. Does God know this? Of course. God knows the end from the beginning. God knows every detail of every happening, including this massive social unrest that is being planned and plotted now in America. Now this is supposed to be confidential. How confidential, I don't know. I'm telling you, now today it spreads to all of you. And it says, the group that is supporting President Obama will engineer and create things to result in a civil war kind of uprising. Will it come? I don't know. I don't know how this will shape up. But the whole idea is we want Obama to continue. You ever heard of this saying? In the White House, there's a black man. And he holds the power, and he does not want to give up the power, although he's quite unpopular at the moment. Why is he unpopular? Because the country is going to the dogs. The whole stock market is in turmoil. And billions and trillions of dollars are being lost. And yet he is happy as go-lucky. He's in charge and he says, don't worry, I'm in charge. Black man in White House. So, where do we go from there? We have a God who called us here today. It is because of God sending His Son into this world to bear our sins, to give us hope, give us life, eternal life, that we are here today. And this God is interested in how you perform. So this is what the Apostle Paul wrote. Do you ever thank God for the Apostle Paul? Anyone did? I'm sure you never thought of that. Apostle Paul is Apostle Paul, so what? Please understand, when the Lord Jesus went to heaven, he left one very important instruction in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Turn there and see. It says, ye shall receive power. Who said that? Jesus. On what occasion? He was about to ascend to heaven, to go back to heaven from where he came. And he told the disciples, who were the disciples? How many were there? How many? 12 minus 1. Please remember, these are the simple facts of the gospel. 12 minus 1 becomes 11. 11 disciples. Who were they? People like Peter, James, John, Andrew, and the rest. Mostly fishermen. Have you ever seen a fisherman that is also a PhD? Also a doctorate? Also a master? Also a bachelor of arts? No, they don't go to school. So when those people came to the authorities' notice, what did the authorities say? Hey, this Peter and John and group, they are unlearned, ignorant people. And yet, Acts 1:8 says, you, disciples of Jesus, will receive power, that you will become my witnesses. Our key word for this morning is the word witness. Yeah, here it is. God is witness. You may think you can run away and you ignore God and do what you like, but God knows. God is witness. He knows. When Jesus was rising to heaven, he left a commandment. Acts 1:8. Read there. It says there, you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That's what we are doing here today, you know. What are we doing here? We are witnesses. Witness of what? I'm here to identify myself with the rest of you. You are here to identify yourself as a member or attendee of this church, as a member of the body of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. And that is what? To be a witness. Every one of us is a witness. Please understand. And the great and faithful witness is God. He knows all about everybody, everything about everybody on the planet Earth. Do you know that? So there is no searching of his understanding. He is so wonderful, and he cares for you and for me. He loves us. He says, show that love. We are here to show that love. Do you know that? You say, what love? I am here to tell you, and you are here to tell the rest. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to earth from heaven. You say, truly? Of course. That is gospel. That is history. And he came in order to take on human flesh, to become a man, to live our life, to bear our sins, to take away our burden of sin, from which we can never get free of, except Jesus took our place. That is our witness.
So before he went to heaven, Jesus said, "You will be my witness. Go and tell. I have no other plan to save men and women. How are you saved? How were you saved?" Answer, "I heard the gospel. Somebody else told me. In my case, Dr. John Sung told me the gospel, how that God saved him. I believe I became a Christian. And we started this church to tell all of you. We are what? Witnesses." Now, what is the meaning of the witness? What is he to do? A witness has one function only. Only one function. To tell what he has seen and heard. 2 years ago, I was called to the High Court. All of you know that. We had a case. I went as a witness. All I did was to stand in the court and tell the judge what I saw and heard of the case relevant to what was being tried. I was a witness. Because of the witness, because of me and other witnesses, the judge says, "All right, I've heard. Now I know." Dear friends, Jesus, before he went to heaven, says, "You will be my witnesses." There is no other plan to save the world. No other plan, except those who are saved to tell others who are not saved. That's all. If you refuse to go, the whole gospel comes to an end. Yes, no one will ever get saved. How can it be? Is that the way you repay the Lord Jesus? Now, we come to it. 11 disciples, can they spread the gospel to all the world? No, of course not. They only spoke the Jewish language, Hebrew. How can they go and speak to the Greeks? That is where Paul came in. Now you follow. Witnesses must come from every language group. You speak Indonesian, you speak English, you speak Mandarin. Go and tell. Jesus says, "You will receive power." You say, "I don't know." Jesus says, "Pray, ask, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." Now we will. I've shown you all this. All right, now we finish this. Acts 1:8. Please turn there and we'll read it once more so that we understand what is the meaning of witness. What is it to be a witness? A witness is to go and tell. Go and tell. Verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power. Who are you? The disciples, 11 of them. As I said, they cannot fulfill everything into all the world because there are only 11. And very soon they will pass away from the scene. But they can spread the gospel to those who can understand them, which they did. When? On the day of Pentecost. This is amazing story of gospel growth. For 10 days, the Holy Ghost worked in their hearts. We read here, chapter 1, verse 8, please. I will read for you. Follow me, please.
You shall receive power that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. On the day of Pentecost, the 11 disciples stood up, led by Peter, and he says, "You men of Galilee, you men of Israel, you've killed the Savior, but the Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead the third day." This is gospel, no other gospel. What is gospel? That we have a Savior who saves us from death. Our number one enemy, for all of you, for you and for me, is death. Has anyone found the cure for death? Answer is yes. One person. Only one. Not the researchers, not the doctors, not the scientists who are going deep into health science today. I read in the papers, somebody has discovered something that can help, maybe, to unravel the cause of the disease, and so men can live longer. I say, yes, very good, congratulations. Live longer. You will live longer. Yes, if I have cancer, I will live longer. Instead of dying at 90, I'll die at 100. You think it's good? What do you think? Dear friends, it's not living longer. That is, what does the Bible say? To live longer is but labor and sorrow. People don't know. They want to live longer. Of course, I love to see my father, my brother, my sister, my wife live longer so that I can see her. How? In the wheelchair. Going around. Everywhere she goes, I got to push her in the wheelchair. Is that the solution to life? No. Dear friends, all the researchers, all the advances in medical science, all the treatment advances, etc., etc., including cancer experts and surgical experts, they can give you a few more years and you say, wonderful, wonderful. I say, sorry. At the end of it, you still die. Gospel, Acts 1:8 is different. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will go and tell others there is a Savior who saves you from death. This is gospel. All right, now, come back to the passage we are reading. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a letter which attests or certifies the fact that now the gospel has spread. According to Jesus' words in Acts 1:8, what did Jesus say? You will be my witnesses. You will tell others there is a cure for your problem number one, which is life eternal, not a cure for cancer and you live a few more years and die all the same. That is not the gospel. Gospel is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your body may die, but you will have a new body coming and everlasting life. Now, here is Paul. Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. Are you following? Peter and group could only speak Hebrew. They could reach out to their own Jews. But the Apostle Paul was well versed in the language of the Greeks. He was a Roman citizen and brought up in Tarsus and was educated under the teaching of Gamaliel, most famous teacher. He could speak all these languages. Now he is in Thessalonica. Now we read. Chapter 2, verse 1. Yourselves, brethren, know how we came to you. Verse 2. Even after we had suffered, were badly treated in Philippi. I'm running fast because of the time. We were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel. Remember that Paul was once an enemy of the gospel, but God called him, met with him, and then he was wonderfully saved. He thought Jesus was dead, but Jesus met with him on the road to Damascus. That part is story. You all know history. From that day, he became a servant of the gospel. He became a witness. Are you a witness? Oh, dear friends, when Dr. John Soon came to Singapore in 1935 and he preached the word of God, so many hundreds and thousands were saved and became witnesses. Here is one, a witness. To tell others that I have found a Savior. Here was Paul. He never intended to go to Europe though. He never intended. You all read about that in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16 and 17. How the man in Macedonia says, come over in a vision. And that was his call. Paul became apostle to the Gentiles in the Philippi. In spite of being beaten up, imprisoned, God saved him. Now he's in Thessalonica. Oh, what a man. Are you a Paul? Are you grateful? You don't need to go to prison. A witness is only to tell what you know of the Savior. All right, read on. Verse 3, our exhortation was not of deceit nor uncleanness. Paul can say this anytime, anywhere, with a clear conscience. I came here to Thessalonica to tell you people there is a cure for your death. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only cure. And what happened? A big group of Greeks believed, and a small group of Jews. And that began the church of the Thessalonians. That is history that you should know. All right. Now, let's read on. Verse 5, please. For neither at any time used we any flattery. What is flattery? To exaggerate how you appreciate somebody, to praise him with an ulterior motive so that you can get something out of him. You say, wow, you're so handsome. You're so pretty. When she's so ugly, you say, so you're so pretty. And so she begins to admire you. You've got what you wanted by flattery. Never use flattery. Paul says, we did not use any flattery or cloak of covetousness to try to win your money. You know, I was reading a lady evangelist in the news. She claims that her broadcast goes to 4.5 billion people every day. And people send her money and gifts, uncountable. So that she has many houses, luxury houses, as well as a fleet of luxury cars. I say, watch out. Watch out. People who do that, you can be sure there is a cloak of covetousness, as mentioned in verse 5. No preacher of the gospel should become a multimillionaire. Should never be. It cannot be. Paul was a poor man. What did he do for his living? He made tents with his own hands and sold them to make a living and preach the gospel free. This is the true servant of God. I'm not saying that a servant of God cannot receive a salary, yes. A living wage, yes. But to become a millionaire and ride in luxury cars and have gold-plated taps and air-conditioned kennels for the dogs, this is true discoveries in America. So listen. Verse 5, Paul defends himself. He says, God knows, neither at any time did I ever try to flatter you, as you know, nor use a cloak of covetousness, some trickery to get your money. I hear that there's a local preacher who is selling certain articles, and he says, everything you buy, I get 10%. 10%. And with a million, he gets 100,000, you know. So he's very rich. Verse 6, nor of man sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome. After all, he is the apostle, and the people all acknowledge him as, what is an apostle? Someone who has been with the Lord Jesus and commissioned by him to preach the gospel. So this is it. Paul says, I could have, and you will all pay me a handsome salary, but I did not. This is his testimony. We continue this, dear friends. All right. Verse 7. We were gentle, like a nurse to children. Paul here is defending himself that, look, I never cheated you, but I've been gentle to you, like a nurse to the children. Unfortunately, we read here of nursemaids from Indonesia, from Philippines, being ill-treated, and they kill various people in the newspapers. Amazing. I don't know how it can be. But Paul says, look, I have been like a nursemaid to you, caring for you in every minute and tender way. Verse 8, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you, not just give you the gospel, but give you ourselves. Anything that we needed to do, we were willing to do, and we did it. For that you cannot challenge Paul. I say, is there anyone here who has suffered the kind of
treatment that Paul received of beatings, shipwrecks, imprisonment, and near death many times. No, all for the gospel. And God knows. God is our witness. We will conclude with verses 9 and 10. Read on, please. For you remember, brethren, I'm writing to you, we labored and traveled for day and night in laboring, because we would not have you have to bear heavy debts for us, that we become chargeable to you and send you hotel bills. We read in the papers 2 days ago, and I saw you on television, this chief executive in Hong Kong went and stayed in a $6,000 per night hotel. And now he's got to confess that he was indiscreet. Not Paul. Paul says, no, I never charged you a cent for anything. Verse 10 now. You are witnesses of how we behave, and so must we. All of us who serve the Lord here, let us serve Him with our utmost, with all that we have, and without having to have a recompense. Verse 10. You are witnesses. God is also a witness. God, who knows everything about everybody, knows all about us, how holily, how justly, and how unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you who believe. Now do you understand that God is witness? Thank God that He is a witness. He knows all about you. He knows your weaknesses, but He does not take it out on you. He comes to your help. He helps you in your weakness. He turns you around. He comforts and strengthens you, encourages you. This is our Savior, and He knows all about us. He is a witness. Amen. He is called the faithful witness, and He loves us. He loves you and me. What are you doing about it? How can we ever return and repay? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we have a God who is also a witness, a faithful witness, who knows all about us, all about our weaknesses and our frailties and our mistakes, and yet He loves us and He saves us. O Lord, and He has committed to us the work that has to be done by us for Him in repayment of the debt we owe. O Lord, help us. Bless Your people here that we may all go and to be Thy witnesses. In Jesus' name, Amen.